Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, it's time for us to get into conversation with Pastor Rudy Damas. He's going to be taking us through Exodus chapter 4, which we kind of started on a few days ago on Wednesday. We talked about Exodus chapter 4, and we just touched a little bit on that introductory part, talking about signs for Moses. What is that in your hand? God asks him. But we didn't go very deep into that because we wanted to hear what the pastor would have to say about that. And so Pastor Rudy Damas joins us on the line to take us through Exodus chapter 4. My pastor, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Bongi. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Pastor. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. Please take us through this chapter of the book of Exodus. We are on the fourth chapter.
Yes, thank you, Bongi, for this opportunity to just say a few thoughts on Exodus chapter 4.
Sure.
Of course, we discussed last meeting with you guys,
mm-hmm.
we dealt with chapter 3, of course,
yes.
where Moses was again hesitant, you know, to go. Of course, the guy is afraid. Like we also sometimes are afraid
yeah.
when God is, you know, as God is entrusting us with certain duties, responsibilities, we doubt. And of course, but there is something very interesting happening here in this chapter. After God told him, listen, here's the three signs. And Moses asked God, you know, God, how will he believe me? What can I... At first, he asked God, who must I say has sent me? And God says, of course, I am who I am and sent you.
Yeah.
That's a strange thing, of course, there. But now, after he's still not convinced with God's response to as to who sent him. And he asks, and then God says, okay, since you're still doubting, that yes, there are three miracles. And those three miracles, of course, indicates... how this God is in control on all areas of our lives. The three different signs God gave him is just an indication of the true God of heaven.
Mm.
Because these guys, you know, these guys worship false gods. And so God wants them to understand, listen here, there's a superior God that is superior to all these other gods. But then still Moses doesn't believe God after God gave him those three signs. You know, of course, we know the signs in the chapter. And then after that, he still refuses, and God, the Bible says God got actually angry. Some translation didn't say God got furious, you know,
yeah.
God got angry.
Yeah.
In such an extension that God wants to just kill Moses. That is actually after God gave him the three signs, and then he refused still to go. You know, that was something interesting in the text. God, the Bible says, God got angry at Moses
yeah.
as to such an extent that God must have killed this guy. Of course, Miriam, his wife, then we've been read the chapter, watch how she actually intervened also on behalf of Moses. But Moses eventually decided to go. But I wanted to pause there for a moment. You know, that for me, it's a very serious thing when God wants to kill this guy for persistently wants to, you know, refuse. I mean, God is God of love, and mm-hmm. love doesn't, you don't force someone to love you, you know.
Yeah.
Love doesn't depend upon the person that receives the love, but it all depends on the person who extend the love, you know,
yeah.
time to say.
Yeah.
God, our response to God's love and to God's forgiveness is only a response of his faithfulness, his love towards us. But something strange happened here in this passage, where it's almost like the case of Jonah. You know, Jonah wants to run away from God's word.
Yes.
Doesn't want to obey God. And, you know, so almost it's like a similar thing here. What is going on here that it seems like that the God of heaven is forcing us now to obey him? Is this the case happening here? You know, of course, when we go into a deeper study, we will understand that's not really the case, that God is forcing us to do his will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something much deeper underlying in this whole thing with Moses here. Maybe I will touch on that later.
Right.
But what I'm trying to say is eventually we can take something positive out of this, that sometimes, you know, God calls us also to do certain things. The Holy Spirit, who's sitting in church, the Holy Spirit is speaking to the pastor, you know, powerfully. And we are convinced, we can know the Spirit has spoke to my heart here, really. And when we get and we are convinced, we even stand up for the altar call. The pastor says, "Listen, yeah, who wants to give their hearts to the Lord, or who wants to commit themselves to God once again?" And we even stand up in church and to indicate publicly that we want to recommit sometimes even ourselves, or maybe sometimes people don't have a relationship with God, but they know the Spirit has spoke to them now just powerfully for the pastor. But once they get in the parking lot, you know, something happened with their hearts and they become afraid or whatever the reasons might be, and they don't want to heed to that voice that was speaking to them. And in many times, even in my life, when I was much younger, it happened to me. I know the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I know it's God. It was God.
Mm-hmm.
But then God still leave the decision to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't threaten me. That it didn't threaten me to kill me if I don't respond to that. But what I'm trying to say is sometimes we don't want to also heed to the word of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although God has spoke to us, I mean, Moses was privileged to hear God's word,
mm-hmm.
and he could see, he saw a bush on fire.
Yeah.
So he has a miraculous
encounter.
Yes, a miraculous encounter with God, of course, and still he's afraid, and. But even, like I said, even sometimes we don't want to heed to God's word, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounds.
But luckily for us, yes.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Pastor. It sounds kind of crazy when you think about that. When you think about the fact that you talked to a burning bush, Moses. Like, what could you still be afraid of? But like you're saying, we do the same thing all the time. Like, we've had encounters with God in different ways. It might not be a burning bush, but he has shown himself to us in one way or another. And then we still get called away by panic and fear and insecurities and self-doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So God, for example, there's a saying that says that the most powerful sign, if I can put it like that,
mm-hmm.
For the human beings, yes, they say the most powerful sign for human beings, is a changed heart. How God can took someone who was like almost like demon possessed, you know, drug addicts and terrible people. How God can change those people. The most theologians believe that is the greatest sign that there's a God. We know, of course, the universe also says something about the Creator, because you can see there's a design in this whole universe.
Yeah.
But they say not even those powerful things, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sea, most theologians believe that although those things speak loudly and powerfully about the Creator, they still believe that the most forceful evidence that there must be a God is the changed heart. Our God can change someone from a drug addict to become a powerful preacher for God. He changes lives. And so sometimes we see this. We see how God has changed people's lives. And then God calls us also to come and believe Him, trust Him. And he point us to these people that has been changed, but then still we are hesitant, you know.
Yeah.
We are still hesitant after we also have signs. Moses, of course, was privileged, as you mentioned now, to see a burning bush. That's a powerful sign.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his mother taught him about, you know, his mother taught him about how miraculously he was, of course, saved by his sister through Pharaoh's daughter was involved. I mean, you know the story. You know there's a God. A true God, and now this God is coming to him, you know, late, 40 years later, and speak to him. And I think that is maybe perhaps the reason why God has become frustrated with Moses, because he has enough proof.
Sure.
He doesn't have an excuse.
Sure.
Are you with me?
I'm with you.
He doesn't have an excuse.
Mm.
Yeah, this guy doesn't have an excuse, but still he tried to come up with excuses, and God really wants to save his people.
Sure.
But I think I must, highlight a few other things here in this passage.
Uh-huh.
And I want to begin to say this, that to serve God effectively depend on His presence and strength and not on your abilities, not on our abilities. Remember, Moses making a lot of excuses that points to his inability.
Mm.
And God says, listen, yeah, I can do this job. I can send angels to free my people there. Mm. But I want you as human agencies to be involved.
Mm.
And of course, we know, of course, that when God calls us to be co-workers with Him,
mm-hmm.
it's not so much to benefit God, but it's actually to help us preparing characters for heaven.
Mm.
That's the whole purpose of God, you know, calling us to, and says, listen, yeah, come and be, as I mentioned now, a co-worker with me in the salvation of men.
Yeah.
But I want to highlight that perhaps if you want to say something, you can just come in and stop me if I'm maybe going too fast.
No worries. Please continue. Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah, so God often calls us, you know, to do something which is beyond our abilities and resources, because He knows that we must learn to trust on Him. Mm. All right?
Yeah.
So oftentimes we look at ourselves and says, no, God, you know, you have the wrong person. You have the wrong person here.
Mm.
I think I'm inadequate to do this. Maybe you must consider someone else to do this. And God says, listen here, Moses, who made your mouth?
Mm.
You know? You must trust on my presence and my strength, Moses. Mm. I will send you.
Yeah.
And so that's the first point perhaps I want to highlight. And mm-hmm. then secondly, maybe I must say that the only foundation for serving God is His abundant grace.
Amen.
Because God could have just destroyed Moses at once when he was making a lot of excuses and mm-hmm. he's doubting God. God showed him the three miracles, you know, and he's still doubting. But I believe we can also see God's abundant grace in this passage, my friends.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I maybe can continue by highlighting other more things in this passage that stood out for me,
mm-hmm.
is that when God calls you to do something beyond your natural ability, that's the first point I think we must learn here.
Yes.
Don't make excuses for why you can't do it.
Right.
You know, I think I did point that out, but I want to emphasize that because that's very important for us
yes.
to remember. And then, of course, something else I want to highlight is that to serve God effectively,
mm-hmm.
we must be ready for the difficulties. This is very important because many Christians, you know, they met Christians in church
mm-hmm.
that are not wholeheartedly in.
Ooh.
They're not sold out for God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that is something we don't want to talk about, you
yeah.
know, because the church is supposed to be a perfect place where
yes.
everybody loves each other,
yes.
you know. So I just want to come back to apply a few of these things to, you know, to our context.
Yes.
I want to say that to serve God effectively,
uh-huh.
we must be ready. We must be ready for the difficulties of the mission.
Mm.
And we find this in this chapter four, Exodus chapter 4. You know, serving God oftentimes means cutting family ties and moving to a new location. Like in the case of Moses, he had
yeah.
to leave his father-in-law. You know,
yeah.
And he needed to move. So there will become difficulties, but also sacrifices needs to be made when you serve God. But of course, the reward will always be greater. You know, we as human beings think when we give our tithes to
yeah.
God, which doesn't belong to us, when we bring our offerings, when we give our time
yeah.
and our treasures, our talents, you know, and our testimony, we, because of our limited perspective,
mm-hmm.
many people then think that I will do myself injustice when I give so much to God. All right? And so because we have a limited, a dumb view of God, we must have God's perspective. And
yeah.
and so that's why we don't want to, when and so the first time difficulties arise in church, some people want to leave the church.
Yep.
But you have a problem with a sister or a brother in church who makes it difficult for you, like a Pharaoh in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to leave the church because of people who mm-hmm. didn't save you, who didn't wake you up this morning, start you on your way. But as soon as difficulties comes in, you want to leave God. And that is because you have, from my point of view, you have a limited view of the God you serve. Because
mm.
there's nothing greater for Him to deal with. You know, you have to trust Him. You have to leave that issue with Him and believe Him. And Moses, of course, didn't believe God in the first instance. And God said, okay, I will send you your brother Aaron to go with you to Pharaoh and so forth. We know the story.
Mm-hmm.
And something important that happens in the passage, I just want to maybe highlight that. That's important fact. People struggle with this.
Okay.
Because the Bible says that God told Moses, he will harden Pharaoh's heart. You saw that in the passage?
Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
Yeah, he said, listen here, this guy, Moses, this guy will not immediately hearken to your voice.
Yeah.
Because I will harden his heart. And
yeah.
So people were saying, but God, it's not fair.
Yes.
Why do you want to harden this guy's heart
and then punish
and
him.
Then destroy these people with plagues, you know? And of course, the last plague is the death of the firstborn, you know?
Yeah.
But I just want to say something on my belief. You know, I don't know how listeners respond to this, but my take on that is not actually that God has hardened this guy's heart intentionally.
Okay.
We must understand God is omniscient,
mm-hmm.
all right? He knows everything,
mm-hmm.
okay? So he knows this guy will not respond.
Right.
He knows this guy. I mean, if you study the history of those passages before, you mm-hmm. know the Bible says there arose a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So already that must give you an indication that this new Pharaoh will not be a walking in the park. Three miracles will not convince this guy that, okay, your God is a true God.
Mm-hmm.
Because for years they've been worshiping their own gods.
Mm-hmm.
They are the most powerful empire at that time.
Yeah.
So who will tell us what to do? It's like Nebuchadnezzar. You know, like Nebuchadnezzar, when God proved to him through the dream that Daniel explained to him everything in detail, but still in next chapter 3, this guy still erected image of pure gold.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He didn't just by the first instance that God showed him who's the true God just respond to this God, because for many many thousands of years these guys are worshiping their own gods, and so to come back to the story of this guy. The Pharaoh, God
mm-hmm.
knew that this guy will not, you know, respond immediately with
mm-hmm.
these three signs. And so he says, Moses, listen here, I know this guy will harden his heart. The language there, of course, might be confusing to someone because it might say, God, you are not fair. How can you intentionally harden this guy's heart? And then because you harden his heart,
then you punish
then
him.
You want to destroy them for plagues.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't make sense, God.
Yeah.
What's going on here, God? So that is something, yeah. So that is something, of course, that we can speak a lot. We can spend a lot of time there. I don't want to dwell there. I just explained to you guys now that our God is the omniscient God. He knows the beginning from the end. You know, right? He knows this Pharaoh will not respond immediately to his servant Moses.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know if there's something else maybe perhaps you want me to allude to in the text before I continue.
I think we're going well. Family, if you have any questions that you would like the pastor to kind of address based on this chapter on the book of Exodus, the number is +27 7347035 20. This is live on Adventist World Radio, and we're speaking to Pastor Rudy Damas, speaking about chapter 4 of the book of Exodus. I found it kind of interesting that you did mention this. You talked about this earlier on when God wants to kill Moses. He's so angry that he wants to kill him. And what you were talking about, I think, is something that we need to take note of, that most of the time when we are focusing on ourselves, because our excuses are normally because of looking inward. So I don't have this gift. I don't have this ability. I am not qualified for this assignment. I'm focusing on me. And in doing that, it's almost like I'm negating the presence of God. It's like I'm saying there is no God. I feel like it's bigger than just saying, nah, I don't think I'm qualified for this. It's more, it's almost like you're saying, no, even God himself cannot do this thing that he's asking me to do. So this thing is pointless. Rather try someone else. And I think that's why it was so offensive to God. It sounds dramatic that God would go so far as to, you know, want to kill him for that. But I think it just kind of shows us that some of the things that we're so flippant about, like, no, I don't want to do it. God will find someone else. Like, it's no big deal. But what are you saying about God in that statement?
So, we know that God is a just God and he's a loving God because God is love.
Sure.
But sometimes God will have to deal with us if we are continue to be disobedient.
Yes.
I want to mention that as well, you know.
Mm.
After he I mean, in the great finale of this world, of course, there will be two groups, you know, and we know, of course, that the other group that will be destroyed by fire is also an act of love, because you can't be truly happy and exist forever destroying yourself.
Exactly.
So even in destroying the wicked, you know, even in destroying the wicked, it's an act of love. But I just want to say this quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, serving God as a pastor, you know, and as a preacher for many years now, you know, serving God, let me say this slowly, serving God often requires delivering a message that people don't want to hear. Should I repeat that?
Please,
because
please.
That is very important. You know, we live in a time, you know, where preachers, you know, Paul says to Timothy, there will be a time when people have itching ears.
Yes.
You know, they will gather themselves preachers that will preach a word that they want to hear.
Yes.
Now, of course, in this story of Moses, we see here that God gave him a message that is not popular. That's why he didn't want to go to Pharaoh. He's afraid of his life. But like in our context, sometimes the same is that God sometimes gives me as the pastor a message and say, God, are you sure I must give this message? It's a straight message.
Mm.
It will, you know, I know some people will not like this message.
Yeah.
And God says, no, I want my people to hear this message. It's not your message. You are the messenger, you know. And of course, we know that this message that God gave Moses to Pharaoh wasn't a popular message.
Yes.
But what I want to say is to preachers out there, and even to Christians, if you are just a Christian and you really want to have a more deeper, intimate relationship with God, there will come times when God will give you a message to give perhaps to your own family members.
Hmm.
And say, listen here, guys, God is calling us to this, and he's giving me the message to deliver to you guys. This is the message. And sometimes we will say, no, God, please don't ask me to do this.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we can't escape that.
Mm.
That sometimes, you know, regardless of people will not like you as a pastor or as a person, you rather be faithful to God than to men.
Amen.
But I would like to say also, to serve God effectively, we must be obedient to his commandments.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
We must be obedient to God's commandments, and to serve him effectively, we need to work with people who are willing to follow God's ways. So if you meet people in church who doesn't like your message because it's too straight, and let me just say this, princess, if you, we must understand, it's not your message. So you need to understand, your heart must be in tune with God's heart so that people can hear the love even in the difficult message. People must hear, the Holy Spirit, if you are really sincere, if you really serve God with all your heart, strength, and might, people will hear even in that reprimanding message, God's love for you, his
Amen.
Deep concern for you. So I just want to emphasize that it's not about you want to come and tell people and use the word as a sword to get people. No.
Yeah.
It's all about God's love. God wants to save us. And so he's sending this message that's a little bit hard on our ears to fall, but he always wants to save us. So yeah, so you need people, there will always be people that will be willing, that are willing to follow God's ways.
Amen.
So if people doesn't want to respond to God's straight word, you know, after God has shown miracles after miracles, even in your life, and there's still people who still harden their hearts, just move on. God will raise people that will be willing to follow his ways. I just want to say that also, you know.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because we must understand. So yes, continue. Yes.
No. I'm listening to you, Pastor. I'm just you're dropping a whole lot of truth bombs there. So we are definitely blessed. How would you conclude the final points there about chapter 4 of Exodus?
How would I conclude this? Let me just say this. God is, if I can apply this passage to our context today, you know. Yeah. God will always at times call us either to serve in the church, in your local church, to be involved, not just to warm up the pews, but this whole thing is teaching us that God is calling Moses as a human agent to work with him. And I mentioned now earlier, of course, you know, I mentioned at the previous, I think on Monday, that God doesn't call those who are qualified. He qualified those whom he called.
Amen.
He just needs you to trust him, to believe his word, and to be willing, yes, to be willing to be his hands and his feet. So what I'm trying to say, what I want to say is the whole point of Christianity is to serve. Because you serve a God of love, and love is always interested in other people's needs. You always put other people first, so you need to serve. And I want to challenge someone here that sometimes God will even call you to ministries, to certain ministries in the community. Perhaps, like in your case now, you have a ministry on the radio. This is part of ministry you are doing now. God might call you to be part of a local church where you know there's not a lot of people there to serve in different capacities. And you say, God, but I was never a head deaconess. God was never a deacon. I was never this and this and whatever. You know, and God is saying to you now through the story of Moses, don't worry about what you can't do. You serve a God that can do the impossible.
Amen.
Do you believe me? Don't just sing songs of me and praises of me. But when I speak to you through my word and I call you to something higher and something bigger, then you make excuses. You know, so God will always challenge us to get out of our comfort zones. Like in Moses' case, he challenged Moses to get out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
So my first thing is, my first thing I want to say is, perhaps God will call you to be part of a certain ministry, or perhaps you must be involved in your church, whatever it might be. Don't make excuses like Moses, all right? Don't make excuses like Moses, because God is requiring 100% obedience from us. I want to say that.
Yes.
And he will provide us with the necessary techniques in presenting the gospel, you know, of just tell it like it is. Don't worry about what technique you will use. Moses had, of course, a staff. He had to throw the staff on the ground. I put it on his, I take it up on his tail, and the staff became a staff again. But I want to say also, maybe we have something very important. What do you have in your hand?
Amen.
God asked Moses that question. What do you have in your hand? And so I want to challenge someone here today, listen to me, is that if you have a musical gift, God gave you a talent of to sing. That is something in your hand. Use it to the glory of God to save a lot of souls for God. And you know, what do you have in your hand?
Amen.
Don't make excuses. God gave all of us some talents, some gifts.
Yeah.
Use it. And God will multiply. I can tell you now, in my own experience, I was first a singer, and I never thought I would become a pastor, you know. And I was afraid just to talk in front of people.
Yeah.
But by trusting God's word, studying his word, it's very important, of course, to study his word. You need to grow. I think that this radio station is trying to do this now, to enlighten people's understanding of the word. That is powerful. Because faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the word of God.
Sure.
But what do you have in your hand that God wants to multiply? He wants to bless others through your talent, what is in your hand, and he wants to bless you also abundantly above what you can ask or think.
Amen.
But the question is, how much do you trust this God that we serve? So I think that is what I would like to, if I can maybe perhaps summarize it, I would like to just say those few things, that don't limit God in your life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yes. Beautiful. Sure. What a powerful word, family. I did tell you that I wouldn't do this justice with the few points that I had on Wednesday. So thank you so much to Pastor Rudy Demas for coming through and for such a powerful, power-packed message there based on Exodus chapter 4. So many lessons that we learned from that about trusting in God, about complete obedience, about just allowing him to use what is already in our hands to do as he tells us to do. Thank you so much, my pastor, for coming through. We really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure for me to be here and to say a few things, to just make the kingdom of God, expand the kingdom of God, and perhaps just make sure that we learn proper things from God's word, proper you know, can make proper applications in, of God's word that will build someone's faith in God. So it's a privilege for me to be here. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. That was Pastor Rudy Damas. I hope you all were blessed. If you have any questions, any comments on Exodus chapters 3 and 4 is what we've covered this week, please feel free to share those on +27734703520. Thank you once again to our pastor. We will be right back after this.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.